Welcome to the Everyman Sports Podcast, the show for fans, by fans. No former pros, no so-called experts, just real passionate fans. From outside on a porch to inside a living room, in the parking lot of a stadium to the dining room table, friends and families chat about their teams, their games, and what makes them cheer. This is Everyman Sports.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Everyman Sports. My name is Chad. I'm the owner-operator of this podcast. Our phone number is 626-427-7678. That's 626-427-7678. You can also follow us on Twitter at Everyman Sports. We tweet a lot during the week, pretty much every day, and comment on what's going on and all that's happening in the world of sports. Today is Thursday. We're recording this. Technically, we were recording on Tuesday. Myself, my father, and Mr. White and Andrew were out at the Mets game, Mets-Braves, the second of the three-game series. And after the game, we had been recording a little bit. And it was short, so I wanted to continue it, so I had added to it the following day on Wednesday. Unfortunately, I was using my phone, an iPhone 6, and I've used the voice memo in the past, but this time it was giving me issue, and I was trying to do a little editing on it, and things went horribly wrong. So there is there's lost audio out in the ether of digital land. It's gone. I tried to be a little bit too cute with my editing, and it backfired. So there's lost audio, but I didn't want it to be a total loss. I'm by myself recording. My dad, who usually joins me for the football season, as we are going to talk about recapping week two and previewing week three, he is currently on assignment, if you will. He's at the Giants Redskin game in MetLife Stadium tonight, along with Mr. White and Andrew and some other people. I unfortunately did not get a chance to go. Hopefully I'll be on the lookout for a Jet game in the future, since that's more of my speed. So that's where we are right now, for this episode. But before we talk about football, let's talk about baseball. It's coming down to the wire. It's nearing the end of September, and that's where the important games are going to happen for what will be somewhat of an exciting October, I think. A lot of the teams that you want to see there and are going to be there, and some surprise teams as well. Already the Cardinals and the Pirates have already clinched a berth. That's to be expected. I mean, the National League Central is probably the best division, regardless of what the two teams below, the Cubs, Pirates, and Reds, have been doing all season. Because both wild cards will come out of the NL Central. In what order it will be, we'll have to see. I mean, the Cubs and the Pirates and the Cardinals have been playing several games the last couple weeks against each other, and Pirates are still close enough. They're technically four games out, I believe, right now. They are trying to close it in. What they really want to do is hold off the Cubs. It looks like they will. It doesn't look like the Cubs will take the first wild card position. It looks like they'll be the road team for the Pirates. And congratulations to the Pirates, by the way. Three straight playoff seasons, playoff berths in a row. And this is a team that went from 1993 until, what was that, 2012. So that was, my gosh, that was close to 20 years, 19 years, I guess. That's very tough to be a Pirate fan for that time. I mean, other franchises have had a lot of difficulties, but no playoff berths in 19 years, 20 years. That's a tough pill to swallow if you're a fan. So that's going on. And, of course, the big thing that happened since our last episode was the Mets-Yankee Subway Series. The Mets took a pretty decisive first game on the Friday night, and then Saturday and Sunday the Mets reverted to the old Mets, especially on Sunday. They got demolished by the Yankees in both games. I think it was 5-1 and then 11-2 or 11-3. You know, the Mets have been, you know, at the Met game on Tuesday against the Braves, My father mentioned that he's worried that the Mets peaked too early. Could have been. I mean, we were at the game and we saw Cespedes on a pass ball third strike just stand in the batter's box. He didn't run. I heard fans boo him. Boo him. Because that's the kind of thing that can get the Mets in trouble. You go all the way back to the 2000 World Series when, who was it? Timo Perez thought Todd Zeal hit a home run, and so he was gingerly running around the bases, and he gets caught at like third base. If he had just ran the whole way, he would have made it. He would have been fine, but those are the things that happen in baseball, and unfortunately, they usually happen to the Mets, but that's just how it goes. So the Mets are currently, after Washington got swept by the Orioles, the Mets now have a magic number of 4, I believe. They're playing right now against the Reds, every time I look up, no matter who they were playing, right now the Mets, the Cardinals, when they were playing, I think it was the Pirates or the Cubs, one of the other Central, they always had the lead first. So early in the game, they scored very early and had a lead. So, good for them. They have a great offense. However, their pitching is not where it should be. Moving over to the American League, speaking of the Yankees, they were able to take 2 out of 3, but from the Mets, and then they went up to Toronto and lost 2-3 to them. Right now, the Orioles' magic number is at 8 as of this recording. The Yankees had some golden opportunities to win some games there, but it didn't work out for them. Hopefully we'll see who's going to hold on there. Right now the Yankees have the wild card lead. They're up, I believe, 3-4 games over currently the Astros, who are just trying to hold on to a playoff position, but between the Twins, Angels, and you have to count in the Orioles. They're all as close as 3.5 games as of this recording to the Astros. The Astros, they started off the year really great. They've got the soon-to-be Cy Young Award winner. They've got one of the best players in the game in Carlos Correa, at least a young shortstop. And the fan favorite, El Oso Blanco, Evan Gattis. Just a lot of fun pieces there, but they may just be a little bit too early to the playoffs. They may just be a season, maybe two at the most, but definitely a season away from really, really competing. And it's really just amazing how well the Rangers have done picking up Cole Hamels. I mean, this was a guy that really, when they picked him up, everybody thought they would just be looking towards next year. But lo and behold, this team, which has Prince Fielder, who's might be a batting champ, and Adrian Beltran came back more healthy, even though he hasn't been a part of the offense, having Josh Hamilton back on the team, I think, is a big, big step for them. So I personally would love to see the Twins make it with Paul Molitor. I mean, I personally kind of wrote them off early in like July. They started to fade really far back. They had one of the wild card spots in July, and then they just started to fall apart for whatever reason. But they have a good offense. Torrey Hunter being there, Brian Dozier, their all-star second baseman, is a big key to that. And I do like that Mauer's still there, and he's still being a part of it. He's not the same as he was, but he's still a big part of that offense, and that's always good to see. So those American League races will be close and something to keep an eye on. We also want to acknowledge the passing of Yogi Berra, who he was one of a kind, really, to put it so perfectly. Aside from his yogiisms, which you've heard thousands upon thousands of now, just how great he was in terms of, I saw the statistic that he has 10 World Series, which is more than the A's have. That's more than the Giants have. He was a winner, plain and simply. He was also a three-time MVP. A three-time MVP with a team that boasted Mickey Mantle, Roger Maris, the waning years of Joe DiMaggio. Just really an offensive powerhouse as well. The short catcher, he was able to do some damage. So, thoughts and prayers to his family. Remembering a great player and just a great person overall. A fun guy. So, moving on to week two of the NFL. I was very surprised that the Colts at home lost to the Jets. Yes, I am a Jet fan, but still, I didn't anticipate the Jets beating Indianapolis on the road. And after Indianapolis had been embarrassed by the Bills, they even got they were really embarrassed on Monday night national television, which is even worse. At home, which is far worse, and it just did not go well for them at all. So, unfortunately, it's not going to be a bad season for the Colts. Will they make it back to the AFC Championship game? Probably not. Probably not. So that was just an interesting thing that came up that people were keeping an eye on. A lot of 0-2 teams that are also very surprising. The Eagles 0-2. DeMarco Murray at one point in the game had negative 10 yards rushing. And somebody on Twitter posted, if you're reading this tweet right now, you have 10 more rushing yards than you have 10 more rushing yards than DeMarco Murray does. He found the end zone, but they were just embarrassed by the Cowboys. The Seahawks, that have, you know, the defending NFC champions, they are 0-2, which is very hard to believe. The Ravens, who had never gone 0-2 under John Harbaugh, are now 0-2 under John Harbaugh. The Giants, how bad they've been. The Lions, I mean, these were playoff teams. The Saints, a lot of these teams that are 0-2 and not looking good. And then also, with a lot of those teams have in common are injured quarterbacks. I thought the quarterbacks were supposed to be protected in this league. Drew Brees with his shoulder, they're not telling you if he's going to... They either don't know or don't want us, the public, to know how long Brees is going to be out. Because they're saying day-to-day, but other people are saying, look, that shoulder's hurt, he's going to miss several games. So, McCown can come off those Verizon Wireless commercials and he can start the game, maybe. Tony Romo, broken clavicle again. And he's going to be out for a good amount of games. I think eight weeks, they said, at the minimum. So that's going to be tough, along with Dez Bryant being out. But luckily, that division looks like weak enough that the Cowboys could overcome it. The Giants don't look good. The Eagles are starting off 0-2. That doesn't mean that they won't turn it around, but still, 0-2 is 0-2. And the Redskins have put on a pretty good show at least 1-1. I mean, that's why their record. They're starting up the game with the Giants very shortly. Matthew Stafford, Jay Cutler, a lot of these quarterbacks are going down, and that's not a good sign, not at all. And it really hurts not only fantasy leagues, but it hurts the team because this is your leader. This is the one that you're supposed to count on, and just not getting it done. But it opens up the door for a lot of these big 2-0 teams, which some are, you know, rightfully so, 2-0, the Patriots, of course. The Cowboys, you know, rightfully so, should be 2-0. The Packers, of course. The Cardinals, 2-0 after last year, their playoff team. And so long as Carson Palmer stays healthy, they could go far. But you look at some of these other 2-0 teams. The Falcons, are they for real this time? The Jets, of course. Are they really just early? Are they peaking too early this season? You know, everybody's on the Bengals for, you know, well, they were going to regress, but 2-0 is, and solid 2-0, I'd say. And then the Broncos, how good is their 2-0? How good are they? That remains to be seen. So coming up with this upcoming week, week three of the NFL, starting tonight, Thursday, as we're recording this, Giants-Redskins. Some interesting games, Eagles at Jets, looks pretty interesting. Will the Eagle offense turn around against what has been a tough Jets defense so far in the season? I got on the Jets for their what I thought was weak secondary play against the Browns. And then they showed up against the Colts. Not only did the defense show up, the offense showed up. Congratulations to Ryan Fitzpatrick for not only earning the job over Geno, who when he comes back is going to be relegated to the backup QB, but Fitzpatrick was actually throwing the ball against, admittedly, a weak Colts defensive backfield. But still, he threw the ball. Chris Ivory had very little to do on the ground, so congrats to him. Green Bay, Kansas City, the Chiefs and Packers looks interesting. I don't know if the Lions are really going to hold up well at home against the Broncos. Buffalo, Miami, everybody was talking, you know, some people were touting the Dolphins as a sleeper Super Bowl pick. I wouldn't be surprised. I think I could kind of hitch my wagon to that in some way. Well, let's see how they do against Buffalo, which they had all the bravado, and that's what happens with a Rex Ryan team. He pumps you up, and then he lets the dogs loose. And for the first week, it worked out so well. And then the second week, he was barking up the wrong tree with Belichick, again, as it always happens. So, unfortunately for him. So I think those really look like the big games. Atlanta and Dallas, really, who's going to be the true 3-0 team there? They're both 2-0. Which one's going to come out and say that, yes, we are for real? Will it be the Brandon Whedon-led Cowboys? Might be. It's in Dallas. Terrence Williams and Joseph Randall and Jason Witten might really turn it on and really show that they're for real. Or it might be the Julio Jones show again. You know, they're hurting at running back, so really Julio Jones is an even bigger factor. I saw him quadruple covered by the Giants late in the game, and it still didn't matter. Although a couple times they did that and they just throwed it to Jacob Tammy, and he broke off a good amount of yardage. So, you know, you got to pick your poison if you're going up against Julio Jones. You know, the Cowboys defense is supposed to be good enough. I could see them beating the Falcons. But since my dad's not here, I asked him to pass along some of his picks that he wanted to share, his best bets. And I'll pull them up for you right now. He likes Denver on the road at Detroit, 3.5, giving 3.5. The Lions are a home dog, a home underdog, and they're getting 3.5, but my father thinks that the Broncos will cover that. And then also another home dog, the Eagles. No, I'm sorry, the Jets are at home. So the Eagles getting 2.5. My father likes the Jets giving 2.5 over the Eagles. So those are his picks, and I would have to agree with those. I mean, why not? Moving over to the Fantasy League, I have started 0-2 in both leagues. And a big part of that is because of Andrew Luck. I had first pick in at least one of the drafts of my two leagues, and I think I was pretty high up in the other one, and I picked Andrew Luck as my first pick. And some people have commented on that. Why did you a quarterback at number one, round one? Yes, because I believe that the quarterback, first of all, is less likely to get injured, Romo and Cutler and Stafford and Breeze aside. The elite quarterbacks, which in this draft were Andrew Luck and Aaron Rodgers, I thought would not get injured. And I think I chose Andrew Luck. I think he was the more elite in terms of fantasy over Aaron Rodgers. And so far this season, that hasn't come to fruition. That's probably going to change. It's only 2 weeks, but still, it's very hard when you look in the morning and he's got 2 interceptions, 1 touchdown, or no touchdowns, and like 3 interceptions. So it's very tough to see that, and under 200 passing yards in at least one of these games. Very, very, very tough pill to swallow. But I prefer picking up a lot of players on the waiver wire. I've been able to find my way. You know, when I found out that Dez Bryant went down, I picked up Terrence Williams. When I found out that T.Y. Hilton was injured, I picked up Dante Moncrief. Those pickups have turned out very well so far. But I need big plays big points from the players I drafted, specifically Luck. In our Everyman Sports League, again, I am also in the bottom. I'm 12 out of 12. I'm way, way down at the bottom, again, because of Luck. But I was actually able to swing a trade in my league. And I feel very, very bad when you run a league and your wife is a part of that league and you make a trade with that person in your house that you see every day for several hours. The other person might get a little perturbed by how much you're urging them to accept the deal and constantly bringing up the reasons why they should accept the deal until they finally just submit and accept the trade. So that's what happened. It was not a... She said she needed a tight end. I was willing to give up my tight end. I got a wide receiver in return that I consider a number one wide receiver. She had three. And we have a two wide receiver league. So I said, you want a better tight end? I would like this wide receiver. And so that's what we did. I broke it down. I'm not one to trade. I think that's my first ever, honestly, my first ever fantasy trade. Trades are very tricky to me because somebody is always trying to get the better of the deal. Believe me, I hear it constantly from some of my other friends who constantly tell me, I got this deal. Look at this sucker. I took him and he accepted this. What an idiot. So I know that going in. I've proposed trades before. I've entertained trades. I've countered trades. But I've never actually, I don't believe, gone through with a trade. There might have been one many years ago that I just can't remember. It was so, not newsworthy. So when I'm looking at a trade, I'm really looking at what do I want? What do they need? What can we work out here? And when I counter or I propose a trade, I'll go above. I'll give them extra players just to get the one player I want. But a lot of times they don't want that. They want, two for two. I'll go three for one. I'll give up three just to get one. But they're like, no, two for two, three for three. I'm like, I can't do that. But I have more of a logical idea to trading. But other people just have a look of, hey, I want this. I'm going to give this up, but I want that in return. I guess in a case, I have kind of done that, But she wanted a better tight end. I had a better tight end. I wanted a better wide receiver. She had a better wide receiver. We made the deal. It wasn't one for one. It was a two for two deal, but not to get into the specifics of it. If you're in the league and you're listening, you can just look on the recent activity and you'll see the transactions. So that's not an issue. So hopefully, I picked up Matt Jones. I'm actually starting in this Giants-Redskin game. It's worth a shot. I'd be interested to see how it turns out. But also my tight ends. The other reason I was kind of fed up with some of my tight ends, in my one league, both of them were injured, Jordan Cameron and Dwayne Allen. So I kicked off Dwayne Allen, and I think I was just in a purge mode, especially being in the bottom. I'm in last place. I think I need to change. I need to shake things up in terms of the fantasy aspect of it. So I made a deal, and I was just in one of those moves, like, hey, I gotta do something. And lo and behold, I did. I'm still trying to work out another deal, but just doesn't seem to be happening, so I might have to wait a little while. So, all right, well, thank you very much for joining me on this episode of Everyman Sports. Hopefully next week my father will be back. He'll be able to give a report back from MetLife Stadium for the Week 3 matchup of the Redskins and the Giants at MetLife Stadium. So if you'd like to contribute anything to the broadcast, you can call us at 626-427-7678. That's 626-427-7678. And you can leave your message there, and it'll be on the broadcast. And, you can be a part of the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at Everyman Sports. And thank you very much for listening. And Andrew, please, if you will.
This has been another episode of Everyman Sports. The show's music is Cold Funk by Kevin MacLeod and is licensed under CC Attribution 3.0. Everyman Sports can be found on Facebook.com, where you can like it to receive updates and news. Visit Everyman Sports in the iTunes Store to leave a review of the show. Also, Visit everymansports.podbean.com directly to comment and support. Everyman Sports can be contacted directly at everymansports@gmail.com.